Amen. It is good to be here tonight. My wife wishes she could be here. She's a little bit under the weather. I think it's just been winter sickness all the way around. She had avoided it until 2 days ago. I got it about 6 weeks ago, and my voice, I still have, go back to the doctor to make sure, like, is everything okay here? Like, I'm still coughing. I said, well, it's a post-viral cough. I said, I think you're making that up. Like, I've never heard that before. How much longer? I said, well, it's 5 to 6 weeks, maybe longer. So I said, let's hope for five. Well, it's six and it's still here. But anyway, good to be here tonight and driving back through Knobnoster. It's been a long time since I've been in Knobnoster. Turned off on State Street and was like, where are the businesses that used to be here? They're like all different. Didn't see the barbershop. Did I go past it or is it like gone? It's gone. What's up with that? I mean, man. But I knew one thing I could count on. We'll have church right here, and there will be people here with a heart for hearing from God. As Brother Teeter had said, I certainly don't have all the answers. I can't relate to what everybody is dealing with, but I'm thankful God's Word said it has all things that pertains to life and godliness. And the Word of God certainly does have the answers. And I'm thankful it can comfort us. It can exhort us. It can convict us. It is it's the right tool for no matter what the job needs to be done on our hearts. And I'm humbled to be able to open the Word and preach tonight. So good to see everybody. And before I left, I don't think it'll hinder the spirit, my wife being gone and me here, because it works out. She writes them, and I preach them. And it works best that way, because if it was the other way around, you'd never get out of here. I'll promise you that. But anyway, with that said, I was leaving, and she said, I'll be praying for you. And I said, I appreciate that. And she said, what are you preaching? I said, I'm preaching on Proverbs 18. And she said, okay. I said, it's going to be a short one. And she said, that's never a problem. And Brother Gibson, one of my preacher friends, he had said he had a man in his church that always told him, preacher, I've never heard you preach a bad short message. And so anyway, with that said, let's take our Bibles tonight. Stand with me, if you will. Turn over to Proverbs. Just going to have one verse that we'll look into tonight. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Tonight, Proverbs 18 and verse 14, our Bible tells us this: the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be gathered here tonight. We're gathered in your house, gathered with your people, and gathered around your word. And I thank you for that. I do ask for help in the delivery of the message, the preaching of your word. Ask that you would do the work that is necessary. I certainly don't begin to know even some of the needs, much less all of the needs, but I'm thankful you know all of them. And we ask that you would do your work in each and every one of our hearts tonight. I pray that tonight we would listen on purpose, that we would have our minds already made up, that we will be yielded to your working. And we certainly invite you and ask you, minister here tonight as only you can. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for what is done tonight, for you alone are worthy of that. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated tonight. In our text here, we look in Proverbs 18 and verse 14. And it is amazing what degree of physical infirmities some people have been able to endure and overcome. Some that you hear about, perhaps some you know, perhaps you in your life, and some intense infirmities having a strong, determined spirit, though, within them simultaneously. He's saying the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So an infirmity comes, and we would look at an infirmity on the outside, whether it be a sickness, a disease, something that has happened, and you would recognize it. And have you ever seen someone who has perhaps been in an accident or been through chemo, and your heart goes out to him, and you just feel like they've got it much rougher than I do? And you look at that, and our heart goes out to them. We see it on the outside, and you think, boy, that's evidence of some strong infirmities that they have been through and have had to endure. Men and women alike experiencing horrific infirmities physically, yet their spirit was stronger than the physical infirmity was awful. The spirit within them was, as the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So on the outside, no matter how bad it looked, the spirit on the inside that said this, I am going to push through this. I am not going to give up. There is something on the other side of this, and I am going to endure. I'm going to push through. And listen, I'm not talking about a repackaged Joel Osteen, or every day can be a Friday, or hey, you've just got to have the power of positive thinking. No, that's not what this verse is referring to. That is not true, because you can also look through and you can see a difficult examples of, listen, sometimes every day is not a Friday. Sometimes you have a week where every day is a Monday.
That's right.
No matter how positive you're thinking, you're positive of this, it's Monday again. So it is not a thought of the power of positive thinking that, boy, if your mind can conceive it, you can achieve it. All kinds of nonsensical phraseology that when it meets real life, it just fades. That's not what we need. The Word of God will sustain us. And when we get into it and don't twist it and take it out of context or just make it a neat poster, God's Word will help us. And the first part of this verse that we look at, the spirit being stronger than the physical infirmity was awful. It says the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. That word sustain, when you look it up, and I say, I've said this, I believe Pastor Merrick said it, I don't know, I picked it up somewhere along the way in training, and if you have a King James Bible and a Strong's Concordance, it'll make you an independent Baptist. You take those and look at what does the Word of God have to say. And you look up a word, and I won't say I was in a debate. I'll chase a rabbit real quick and come back. Online, and a man had posted out there and had made a post on Facebook, and I don't do a lot on it. I don't post on it, but if I read something and I usually just have to get rid of it and say, don't go there, Mitch. Do not get into that. And anyway, it's talking about women preachers. And someone put a post about Paul. It's impossible for a woman to be the husband of one wife. So you automatically know they're not qualified, right? Well, a female, not a lady certainly, posted, this is going live stream, isn't it? Well, bless the Lord. Maybe she'll be listening and she'll get to hear it again. So she posted a little smart aleck snippet on there. That's not God's word. That's Paul's word. And I make it a habit not to engage in argument with a woman who is challenging a preacher. I don't believe that's right. Don't believe a man should be as well, but the Bible talks about how you deal with things. And this pastor was the one making this post, so this woman puts this out there. That's not God's words. Those are Paul's. So I said, well, 2 Timothy 3:16 would differ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. ... She responded back, inspiration is not dictation. We're dealing with a brain surgeon here. So right underneath it, I said, a Strong's Concordance would be very beneficial to studying the Bible. I have found that. When you look up the word inspired, it is literally defined as God breathed from deity. Yeah. quote. Amen. You don't have a problem with me if you disagree. You have a problem with the Word of God. I say that to say a Strong's Concordance is very helpful because you can look up, what does this word say? It shows you, hey, this is the word in Greek. Here are the other English words it has been translated into, not changing the King James Bible, just what does it say in other places? And then it gives you a nice little number, and as long as you don't take the Greek number and look in the Hebrew, or take the Hebrew number and look in the Greek, because I've done that before, you turn back there and you're like, wow, that really is saying something different. And you're like, oh, whoa, I'm in the wrong half of this thing. I need to turn a few more pages. Okay, this makes a little better sense. Would have the people Sunday night going, and me saying, trust me, go to your Strong's. It's in there. Anyway, it is beneficial because you can turn and say, no, this is what it means. Here is the definition of it. This is the very definition of it. In this word sustain, it means to keep in, to maintain, to contain, or to nourish. So the spirit of a man, not changing our Bible, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. It will contain it. It will maintain it, or it will nourish it. It will help that. We would look at their physical infirmity and say, oh, how awful. What a desperate, serious situation they are in. This is a critical situation. But yet they have the spirit of, I'm not giving up. I'm going to survive. I'm going to see my family again. You hear POWs interviewed and what they have to say. And I think of this, how could they endure those things? I mean, I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. I mean, you get the little, you just get the drill out. You don't even have to start drilling on my teeth. Just like, ing, ing. I'd be like, what do you want to know? I'll tell you anything you want to know. I'm not one that just says, pile it on me, I can take it. That's not me at all. And you hear stories or you hear a commentary about a POW and their awful treatment and the infirmities and that went on for years and years, kept in a crate underground or whatever it may be. And here's what regularly they will say. Hope was the defining factor in enduring impossible situations. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. I think of that in reading or watching, once again, documentaries of folks who shouldn't be alive. Plane crashes in the Serengeti or someplace over there in Africa. They have very little water. They break an arm, break a leg. The food's run out. Of course, the radio never works. Nobody's flying in that area. There's lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And you think, how are they going to survive? And they go day one, and then it hits the night, and the beasts are coming out, and they're trying to make a fire with spilled fuel and rubbish from around, and they make it through the first night, and then they're into the second day, and the sun comes up, and you're watching this thinking, they're not going to make 2 days, and then it goes 2 days, and 3 days, and 4 days, and 5 days, and they're enduring the physical pain. They are thinking, I want to get back to my family. I want to get back to my spouse. I want to get back to enjoying life. And they are able, through a period of time, to somehow endure and overcome the infirmity. They somehow survive. Here is the truth that this verse proclaims to us tonight. A wounded spirit should concern us more than a broken or diseased body. See, we have a tendency to look and say, well, I'd be concerned. I mean, that fella or that lady right there looks like she's endured some very difficult times and has had a tough time of it, and she's got to be battling through whatever she's battling through. And we would look at it and it would cause concern. But this verse is telling us the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? A wounded spirit should concern us more than a broken or diseased body. A wounded spirit is something that is going on within that you cannot see on the outside. That it is something you don't want people to see. It is something that is occurring on the inside that our Bible tells us this. It is much more dangerous than what would be obvious as a physical infirmity on the outside, that we would say that needs to be dealt with. You need to do something about that. The spirit, a wounded spirit, who can bear? Well, we must guard and protect our spirit from being wounded. That's my responsibility. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. Let's look at a few verses in Proverbs here. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. The Bible tells us this: a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Sorrowful heart breaks the spirit. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 gives us an exhortation: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep meaning this: to guard it, to watch it, to protect it with all diligence. Take careful stock of what is going on in your heart. You know, we look and we would say this, you know, perhaps you have something going on your skin and you think, well, I need to keep a watch on that and it's growing. I better get to the doctor and get figured out. Something appears to be amiss and I want to get this addressed before it goes much farther. Something far more serious than that is when we allow our heart to be injured or wounded, and rather than dealing with it, we allow it to fester. We decide we're not going to deal with it. It's just going to go on and nobody's going to know about it, but it's there. It's on the inside. Our spirit is wounded. Our spirit is broken on the inside. Our heart has been hurt. Look in Proverbs 17. We'll just stay here in Proverbs just for a moment. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. The Bible tells us a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep it. Guard it, watch it, protect it. Protect and guard the heart. What is the heart? I mean, we don't need to get into some deep definition here. The heart is simply the seat of our thought, our emotions, our inner person. And if you look it up, that's what, when you look up in Strong's and look the definition up, that's what it'll tell us. That's what our heart is. Our heart is who we are on the inside. And I'm supposed to keep that with all diligence. I've got to certainly be careful, because by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And when you look at that word, the spirit is broken, and then you come back to our text, the wounded spirit, that wounded and broken, when you look them up, they are, the Hebrew, it's like the same word. They're just a slight variance there of broken or wounded. In other words, it does not take long to go from wounded to broken. And when I'm wounded and I allow that and I just allow it to stay, it builds up within me. The heart can be tempted in tough times to think this: God is not being fair with me. Have you ever thought that? Because I have. I don't say that braggingly. I'm ashamed to say that, but if I speak truthfully, you think, I'm just trying to do right. And I work around people, or there's neighbors or others that aren't. And why do I get to deal with this? I say I need to be careful in that regard. I think I would rather not phrase it, I need to be careful. I need to recognize that for what it is. A wounded spirit, who can bear? And I can either choose to nurture that spirit, or I can get right. Because I know this, God has been awful good to me. He has. I'm thankful for the grace and for the mercy of God in my life, and I certainly have done nothing to deserve it. He's good. All the time. And I think that in my sinfulness, which damned me to hell, rather than Him allowing it to play out, so to speak. Listen, not only did He save me from that, it cost Him His Son to save me from that. And I think this, He's been awful good to me. And I'm thankful for that. His goodness in my life is not a testimony to my goodness. It's a testimony to His character. He's a good God. I think of righteous Job and his walk with God and his fellowship, and suddenly he loses family. He loses riches. He loses health. And what is he upset about? He's upset that he can't get through to God. That he can't find Him. A wounded spirit, who can bear? We're nearing the end here. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You look up that word bear, and it means lift or carry. This was good for me. A wounded spirit. Who can bear? Who can lift it and who can carry it? When your heart is overcome with sorrow, disappointment, perhaps disillusionment with God, the spirit is broken, is wounded. And who can bear that? What's our definition of bear? To lift or carry. And I can go back and I could attest to this, that when you get a wounded spirit, and the Bible tells us this, and I firmly believe this is exactly what this verse is speaking of. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Who can lift it and who can carry it? And what happens when you cannot lift something or carry it? I think of this, going out west, and the boys and I will go out there every few years and we'll do it yourself elk hunting. Pitch a tent and we go hiking in. And a few years back, Levi and I went and called in a bull. He shot it with his bow. And it's when I'm glad I have a son there to pack the heavy loads. Amen. And he's loading the pack up, and I'm like, I'll keep cutting here and work this out timing-wise where you're loading and I'm cutting. No, it was not like that, I promise. But you get a hind quarter of an elk, well, deboned. Well, we don't need to get into all that process, but it's heavy. I'll just put it this way. You've got about 200 pounds of meat, and you got it in about four bags. And you put that on your backpack, and you're at elevation, and you might not be in the shape that you'd like to be, and you might be on the other side of 50. Well, you don't even have to be on the other side of 50 to get tuckered out in the mountains. And you lift with your legs, not your back. And you're like, well, that's all good and fine, but I'm on the side of a hill like this, and I'm trying to get under a backpack that has 50, 60, 70 pounds of meat in it, along with your other stuff, and then try to stand up, gird that thing up, and it kind of goes like that. You get a moving finally, and you get going. Well, when you can no longer lift or carry that load, guess what you do? Not a trick question. You sit down. I can't lift or carry this any farther, and you have trucked far enough, and you find you a good spot, a big rock, a stick, a branch, a tree, anything, and you just plop down, and you're there. But a wounded spirit who can bear. And here's the spiritual application for us tonight. That wounded spirit, he says, who can bear it? Who can carry it? Who can lift it? And if I allow that wounded spirit to stay within me, you know what I find it does to me spiritually? I'm just kind of sat down in my misery. God doesn't intend for me to be sat down and stay in here. I need to get the meat to the truck. But I'm just kind of sitting here because I can't carry it or lift it any farther. The truth of the matter is when I allow my spirit to get wounded, so often spiritually, listen, God, get into my message for tomorrow if I'm not careful. God has other plans for us. I'm not saying there's not difficult days and weeks and months or years ahead, and oh, God's going to deliver you from. I'm not saying that, because He in His wisdom knows what He's doing with each and every one of us. But I know this: when I get a wounded spirit, listen, this wounded spirit, there's so much application here. This wounded spirit can be toward God. It can be toward somebody else. It can be a jealousy. It can be bitterness. It can be somebody in the church. It can be whatever. And I allow my spirit to get wounded. Here's what I'm allowing myself to do: to sit down spiritually right where I am. And I don't make the progress that I'm supposed to make. I'm not walking with God. I may be reading my Bible. I may be still coming to church, going through the motions, but I'm not growing. That wounded spirit, who can lift it, who can carry it, who can bear it? I'm just stuck. And listen, I'm stuck in a spot where I don't want to be. But it is up to me. I do believe the ounce of prevention is worth the pound of cure. And for me to say this, as Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 4:23, to keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. To understand this, I'm in the middle of a trial, a situation. I've got to watch my heart that I don't allow a wounded spirit to settle in here. Because when the wounded spirit settles in, I sit down where I am, and I don't work through this with God. What I'm in the middle of today doesn't mean that's where I have to be next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years from now. but with a wounded spirit toward him, it makes it awful hard for me to traverse the path that I have ahead of me. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. I want to encourage us tonight, let's keep a close watch on our hearts, that we don't allow them to get to the spot where we can't carry it, lift it, bear it, and we're stuck. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the evening that you have given to us. I thank you for your word, how it can strengthen us, it can encourage us, it certainly warns us. I pray that we would, just as we would look on the outside and recognize the severity of a physical infirmity, God, that we would even treat with more seriousness the danger of allowing a wounded spirit to occur within us, our heart to be wounded or broken or damaged, and we carry that with us and we reach the point that we cannot bear it, and we end up sitting down, not able to carry or bear the load. I pray that you would give us strength and help to do what we ought to do, and certainly never forget that you are good, you're in control, and you certainly don't want us just to sit down. Help us to keep our heart, to guard it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.